This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American Research Professor for the U.S. Army War College Institute of Strategic Studies. We're looking at an imminent election in the New World, Chile, a rich land in resources and education and promise, and once upon a time admired throughout the Western Hemisphere as a success story. But recently, however, the troubles, not only the pandemic, but also before the pandemic, a challenge to the Constitution, unhappiness with the government. Right now, we have a government leaving, a lame duck president who has been challenged by his own legislature. We use the word impeachment too frequently in the North. But in any event, there's unhappiness. And the unhappiness is going to result in a presidential election that is imminent. So I go to the headlines from Europe. This is Reuters writing with a reporter from Santiago about the imminent selection. Former protest leader Boric seeks to bury Chile's neoliberal past. The quote from the candidate for the left center. If Chile was the cradle of neoliberalism, it will also be its grave. Reuters reports the 35-year-old former law student leading a leftist coalition of the broad Frente Amplio and the Communist Party has a serious shot of becoming the copper-rich country's next leader. Professor, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. The candidacy of Gabriel Boric, what does it represent in terms of the hemisphere and in terms of Chile's life? Because my understanding is that this is a thoughtful man who's done a great deal of reading about classical Marxism in Europe and can quote freely in several languages the story of communism, socialism, and the left over the last 100 years. Is this a positive that he is now a potential president of Chile? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. For me, what the elections in Chile are a contest between the past and the understanding of the legacy of that past and a new generation of relatively well-educated, oftentimes middle-class youth who have aspirations for a different Chile. Boric, again, as a student leader, again, as you pointed out, very educated, is able to speak about environmental issues and economic injustice and things like that with some passion, really represents that emerging new Chile who oftentimes looked at the legacy of the Pinochet dictatorship and the perceptions that that is that the development that has been the Chilean miracle has come with considerable socioeconomic inequality that's also seen as embodied in an unjust constitution. In many ways, the conservative, socially conservative, economic conservative past is currently embodied by José Antonio Kast, again, a very socially conservative Catholic who has had some strong views on same-sex marriage and abortion, and indeed is a climate change skeptic. Chile traditionally had stayed a little bit more in the political center, and indeed, the center-right candidate, Sebastian Sichel, was unfortunately tainted by this new, this Pandora paper scandal, which also tainted the current administration. So what appears to be happening now, unfortunately, is that in Chile's two-round presidential election, that the first round on November 21st, the rallying of the conservatives, in Chile, with kind of the fall of Sichel, those conservatives have rallied around the social conservative, José Antonio Kast. However, it appears that the combination of Boric and a lesser known but also dynamic leftist candidate, Yasna Provost, are not that far behind. And so what is generally expected to happen is that while Kast may or may not win on the 21st, it will become a runoff between Kast and Boric. The left and much of the center will rally around, Boric. And so it's widely expected that Boric will take this forward. With respect to the implications for the region, it is, as you pointed out, Boric is a thoughtful person. It's not automatic that he's going to try to take Chile, at least not immediately, in the direction of Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela or others such as the Ortegas in Nicaragua. But clearly, he will take Chile in a leftist direction at a time where the rest of the region is also moving strongly towards the left. And that has implications for really the ability of the United States to work with the region and really what the agenda of the region going forward is.
We have momentarily to look to the news about the present administration in Chile. Sebastián Piñera was impeached by the legislature and has now been deemed not guilty by the Chile Senate. There was a vote in these last hours, the Chilean Senate, and the case is closed. The vote was, well, they needed 29 votes. They came up with 24, and so it fell short. The way our process works in this country, first the legislature impeaches, then the Senate like a trial. But Piñera was caught up in the same story about the Pandora Papers and corruption. That's the larger issue here. And does Kast free Chile from corruption, or are we saying that Kast is seen as the same road that Piñera took? In other words, questions about the well-to-do in a Chilean society of inequity.
That's a great question, John. Sebastian Sichel, who was again the center-right candidate who was seen as really carrying on the Piñera legacy, was unfortunately himself caught up in that. Kast has not been tainted by those type of scandals. That's certainly been part of his appeal. But he represents a different group. It's not so much the wealthy elite, although there's a tendency of some to rally around him. He really represents a deep set social conservatism in Chile. Very Catholic, who looks at the past, kind of the law and order that was created by the Pinochet regime with nostalgia, a desire to see Chile not transform in the ways that some have seen it transform with the kind of the political correctness of the turn to the left that has come with Chile's modernization and this new generation. So in many ways, Kast represents a different legacy. He'll be tainted a little bit by the Pandora's paper scandal, but that probably won't be a factor so much as just the way the support for the left and center will probably break in the second round of the elections on December 19th.
Then let's look very closely at Boric, the candidate of the center left. It's easy to like him because he wears leather jackets. He's very young. His face is online. He uses PCs and iPhones. He's a recognizable senior millennial. My children are millennials, so I pay attention. Is this a country in turmoil, turning to the unknown? A man who quotes from Marxist philosophers for the last 100 years? If it is, I acknowledge that other countries are taking similar risks. We know this in Ukraine. We know it in the U.S. We certainly know it in parts of Europe where they're taking a plunging into the unknown of candidates who are neither the past nor the future, just someone who represents the moment. Is that how we could regard Chile? Because I really don't see Boric representing the kind of unknowns that, say, Pedro Castillo represents in Peru, or, well, you mentioned Chavez, but we have Morales. He certainly represented an unknown of what we now know is to be brutality and narco-terrorism. Boric doesn't look anything like that. So what does he represent? What is this new movement that that they're going to turn to a philosopher?
Well, as you pointed out, John, not all youthful people who seem relatively cool and use social media turn out well for the countries. We've had some concerns with Nayib Bukele in El Salvador in that sense. I think Boric, he is a different type of leftist leader. He's clearly very educated. He's eloquent. He has some ideas like income redistribution and climate and social justice in the Constitution that appeal to that new young class. And again, he's seen as expressing himself very eloquently. Probably the closest U.S. analogy, you could say in many ways that Gabriel Boric is kind of the Ocasio-Cortez of Chile. Again, elegant with that appeal of people who are looking for change and possibly radical change. But the youthfulness and the magnitude of change, it raises concerns for others of the more traditionalist bent. I think it's, the other issue then becomes that although he has the political machine increasingly oriented behind him now on the left, it'll be interesting to see whether his relative political inexperience, how that matches with the Chilean reality and the still very conservative elements of Chilean society and its institutions, and really if he is elected, whether he is up to the administrative challenges of the many difficult decisions that lie ahead in terms of navigating that Chilean bureaucracy and interfacing with the region and other actors in the world. Sometimes what sounds good in rhetoric, it's a little bit more difficult in reality.
The first round of the election is hours away. We turn to Argentina, where the election is hours behind us, and what is to be done with the Peronistas' disappointment. Evan Ellis is a Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.